Welcome to River Life Podcasts. We're a church family embracing the Father's presence, releasing empowered people to declare and demonstrate Christ's kingdom. We trust that God would use what you hear today to bless and grow you so that you would be a blessing to those around you. For more information about River Life Baptist Church, go to riverlifechurch.org.au or find us on social media.
Good morning, church. It's so fantastic to be with you as we pause to celebrate this Christmas season together after such a big year that has been, hasn't it? And as we enter into this season, I wonder for you what you're looking forward to most this season. What would you say is so good about Christmas? You know, many of us would have a bit of what I would call our favorite Christmas routines, our traditions. As for myself, often you can identify with this. We wake up, we open presents, we eat a fairly substantial family meal, followed by lounging like cats around the house, mostly regretting how much we've just eaten. And every year, the same thing happens. It never fails. I think to myself at the end of this meal, I'm so full, I couldn't possibly ever eat anything ever again. In fact, the mere thought of putting something into my mouth actually disgusts me. And then something amazing happens, a Christmas miracle. About 2 hours later, I've changed into some loose-fitting clothing, some pajamas. I'm feeling a little bit better, and suddenly the light inside the fridge beckons me like a bug, and I'm drawn in. And I find myself standing in front of an open fridge, just looking inside, thinking to myself, you know, I really could go for a bit more Christmas ham. That would be really good right now. Is anyone else that happened to? It's amazing. Yeah, another Christmas routine is this. Maybe you can identify with this. It's the old classic family photo. Parents and children around the house are reluctantly rounded up like cattle. We're drawn into the couch and where we press in like sardines, and it's hot, we're trying to look our best, and it's a little bit awkward, we're trying to snudge in there, it's really packed, and we're trying our best to look our best. We tuck in our shirts, we're trying to stop the kids from fighting, we're all trying to smile and collectively suck in our stomachs for that perfect postcard moment. We say 3, 2, 1, inhale, click, exhale, everyone's back to normal. 10 attempts later or something around that where something close enough and we've given up, we're saying, that's good, let's move on, and we're back to lounging around the house and more Christmas ham. Every year, it's the same thing. But you know, when we think about Christmas and the good news it is for us, whatever our traditions, whatever we're looking forward to, there was nothing routine, nothing postcard perfect about the first Christmas 2,000 years ago. Just think about the chaos of a manger scene, what was happening in that moment. The mess of stinking animals, the awkwardness of strangers suddenly showing up, shepherds and strange foreigners, and the terrible timing of a birth during a census. And yet, I think this scene gives us reason to pause after such a busy and chaotic year. That we would pause to celebrate that God has entered into the messiness of real life, our life, with good news. It's worth celebrating. And as we launch our Celebrating Christmas series, I'm starting off with this topic of peace, exploring Luke chapter 2, and it's something I believe so many are searching for at this time in history. I mean, the challenges of 2020 has been anything but routine, anything but peaceful. If you could somehow talk to yourself, maybe a year ago, last year at this time, what would you even say to yourself? I mean, maybe it would be something like, I know there's droughts, I know there's bushfires, I know there's a lot going on in your life, and I'd like to say 2020 is going to be a lot better. But just hang on for the ride. For so many of us, our routines have been disrupted by questions, by confusion and pain. We've seen the frantic development of a COVID vaccine, while it seems the poor and most vulnerable seem to suffer most around the world. We've seen hashtags and social movements that have left those seeking for an elusive sense of justice that has left streets on fire and people weeping. It's been a year of isolation and loneliness for many who are unwell and elderly. The immense pressures on teachers and parents trying to be teachers have been incredible. Business owners, homemakers, and more. We've watched countries and communities divide over politics and ideologies. And yet no vaccine, no politician, no movement offers a peace like Jesus can. The prophet Isaiah publicly celebrates his birth, saying this in chapter 9, verse 1 through 6. There will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. For unto us a child is born. To us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So during our four-part Christmas series, we're pausing to celebrate the joy, the peace, the hope of Jesus. Because only Jesus has the power to pierce the darkness with life. Only Jesus can enter a messy manger scene to unite strangers as friends, the wise and unschooled, the magi and shepherds as family. Only Jesus can overturn the fear-mongering politics of King Herod of that day that had left many mothers weeping on the streets of Bethlehem. Only Jesus can make the blind see, the lame walk, or promise new life ahead. And I believe, church, that there is no greater time in our generation, no greater moment such as this, where we would wake up to our calling and make the name of Jesus great again. Only he is the Prince of Peace. It's not a politician or a position. It's Christ. And so we put Christ back at the throne of our lives to be a witness as his church, a light on the hill for all those who are wondering at this time in history, what's so good about Christmas? He is our Prince of Peace. And his birth gives us reason to pause and celebrate. So, Father, as we open your word, I pray that you would open our hearts to receive this gift of peace. Speak to us as we pause to reflect on the goodness of the celebration of your birth. And God's people said, amen. How many of us realize that the idea of Christmas being connected to the good news of God's peace can be so far from people's mind through all the holiday production? I think that's why so many relate to the classic movie, Charlie Brown Christmas. Remember that one? Isn't that a beautiful one? I think we connect with it. You know, Charlie's so busy directing a Christmas play with all of his friends, he becomes totally overwhelmed by the pressure, by the conflict, by the production, so much so that he finally cries out, "Isn't there anyone who can tell me what Christmas is all about?" Well, of course, Linus then takes the stage with the security of his blanket and biblical faith, to quote Luke chapter 2, 8 through 15. He's saying, this is what Christmas is all about. This is our reason to celebrate. And it reads like this. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests." What's so good about Christmas? Good news of peace. Through Christ, worthy of our celebration. You know, the shepherds that day were just going about their routines, their traditions, trying to provide for the families, looking after the sheep. They weren't expecting anything special in that moment. And yet suddenly an incredible birth announcement, good news, peace breaking into our world, God with us. And whatever our year has been like, at least three things stand out that should give us reason to pause and to celebrate. And the first is this. The first good news of Christmas is that the gift is free. The gift is free. God chose to share the greatest announcement in history to shepherds, not kings. You might imagine God going to the prime minister, the courier mail, or someone with power and authority. But God chose Mary, a poor girl from a poor village. God chose a humble manger. God chose shepherds. They smelled bad. They lived rough. They were the uneducated and poor society. And the natural question we must then ask would be, why start with shepherds? Why shepherds? Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1 carries this point further, anticipating Jesus' coming with these most unusual sounding words. It says, "A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit." Now, Isaiah could have said, out of the powerful family tree of King David, a mightier ruler will emerge. But that's not what he says. Isaiah mentions David's father, Jesse, a poor peasant farmer of no significance in the eyes of the world. And he's making a point that out of this humble stump of Jesse, something that seemed dead and powerless, God would make new life grow and bear fruit, as if to say, you cannot manufacture this gift of peace in your own strength. You cannot sustain the peace our heart desires in your own power. But when God enters the story, whatever your history, he's making a way for a new destiny in your life. People might stand back and look at the outside of our lives and they say, all I see are stumps in their life. But when God enters with us, this dead stump of our life will rise with new life. Why shepherds? Why stumps? Why share the good news in this most unusual way? Because the gift of peace isn't about what we can do, but what he has done for us. Isn't it true that so many things in our life tell us we have to earn what we get? Become someone, prove yourself, work harder and faster, be a good person or you're gonna get a lump of coal, a rock. But Christmas is a gift where God says that whatever your situation, whatever position you are in your life, good news, you are extravagantly and freely loved. The gift is free. The second good news of Christmas is this: the gift has power. In the middle of a dark night, in a lonely place, the shepherds were out at a distance from society, so far from people. It says they were afraid. And the angel says, "Fear not." What are you going through in your life right now where it would be so good to hear God say, "Fear not"? Where do you need to know God is with us in this messy manger we call life? Outside of these attempts to maintain postcard moments, to suck it in, the pose, whatever it might be, as if our lives were neatly put together, fear not. This is the message the angel brings. Peace to those on whom God's favor rests. Power for peace. And my fear, and my struggle, and my worry about economics and jobs, and my health, and my security. Peace as God's favor is found resting in our lives, that he is with us. And this does not mean a life without struggle, but in my struggle, I am assured that nothing can keep me from the good plans of God yet ahead. When Paul is facing death in prison, he writes this in Romans, "If God is for us, who can be against us? In all things, in hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword, in all things, we are more than conquerors through him who loves us." The power of this peace is not only personal. The power of this peace has global implication. The government shall rest on his shoulders. It changes everything. What would it look like if the power of God's peace entered our world? I cannot think of a better story at this moment than the Christmas truce of 1914. It reads like this: World War I had begun, and the fighting on the Western Front between the Germans and the Allies was fierce. A system of trenches separated the two sides, with an area in between regarded as no man's land. But on Christmas Eve, an unofficial truce broke out. German soldiers began singing Silent Night in German, and men on the other side of the Great Divide joined along in English. Soldiers who hours before had been attempting to kill one another were now singing together about the wonder of Christ's birth. As the night and the singing continued, the soldiers emerged out of their trenches to join one another in no man's land, where they exchanged gifts, shared in burial services, and played soccer together. An estimated 100,000 soldiers along the Western Front laid down their weapons that night and into the next day. In subsequent years, their commanders demanded that they would continue fighting on Christmas. But in that sacred interlude in 1914, a reminder of the incarnation caused a ceasefire. Peace on earth, goodwill towards men, became a known reality. Can you imagine a world right now where the Spirit of Christ ruled in our hearts, for a time when the King will fully rule on earth as it is in heaven? How can we join into that this Christmas? Ephesians 2:14 reads, "For he himself is our peace. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross by which he put to death their hostility." The gift is free. The gift has power. And the third good news of Christmas is this: the gift is found in Jesus. The story of Luke continues in verse 15. "When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them." Can you hear the heart of the shepherds? In the darkness of night, in their lonely place, hearing this news, good news, worthy of celebration, and their heart that says, "Let's go. Let's see this thing we've heard of. Let's experience the good news of this gift of Jesus." I wonder how we might respond to that invitation. The shepherds responded just as we can today. Right in the middle of it all, in all the production, to pause and remember the true gift. No, these shepherds had to leave, though, their normal routines, to pause and turn their face towards Bethlehem, to move towards this one Savior in a manger. And life as a shepherd was not easy. They had known struggle, isolation, poverty, and pain. They had had some rough years. And they knew that something was wrong in the world. They knew that something was broken, and yet something about that feeling of being lost had an implication that there was a place to which they belonged. Somehow deep in the human heart knew that there was a place called home, a place of peace. And they heard it was when the King would be on his throne. What barriers would have kept them from going, leaving the sheep, stepping out of what was known, what was routine? And it makes me wonder what barriers we might have to seeking Christ and letting him enter into our lives this season. Perhaps for you, the first barrier might be the wrong family. You know, I've got a long family history with problems, and Christmas only reminds me of how messy my life really is and my family really is. We would barely make an ugly sweater post together. Forget the postcard. And don't we know Jesus entered with peace into a family with a broken history? If you've read the Christmas story and you've kicked it off with Matthew chapter 1, it starts off with this long, boring genealogy, and you think, boy, I'm just going to skip over this part and get to the good stuff. But if you pause and you read about who's in that genealogy, it reminds us that they were a family with a lot of broken problems. This is the genealogy of Christ. Isaac's family was always fighting. Jacob's parents played favorites with the kids. Judah betrayed his brothers and was unfaithful. Rahab was formerly a prostitute. David committed adultery and murder. Solomon had rebellious sons. Rehoboam's pride politically divided the nation, and the list goes on. And we thought our family was a bit rough. I mean, I can't even imagine sitting around a family meal in this sort of family. But the Bible is filled with regular people where nobody's getting it right. And God doesn't eject them from the story, he enters it. Christ entered a family with a lot of issues, not because they were the right family, because they were just like every other family, one with a history. So if we come to the Christmas season thinking, I've come from a family with all sorts of issues, it's a messy family, good news, Christmas belongs to you. The second barrier might be this, wrong town. You know, Christmas is great if you live in the right area code, the ones where you go to a private school, drive nice cars, afford the good presents. But I've grown up in the wrong side of town. I've never had a break. I get a rock for Christmas each year. And if that's you, I've got good news too. Was not Jesus born into the small village of Bethlehem, into a humble manger for a bed? He grew up in the area of Nazareth, considered a poor country town. The Bible actually quotes people saying, Nazareth, can anything good come from there? And in the eyes of the world, Jesus grew up in all the wrong places, yet God chose it. The angel rightly said it's good news for all people. And so if we've grown up on the wrong side of town, where people say, can anything good come from there? And that's where we're from. Good news. Christmas belongs to you. The third barrier is this, wrong time. No, I'm too busy organizing presents, my social calendar, the decorations, the meals to even think about Jesus. Maybe that's a good New Year's resolution. I'll get onto that for at least a couple weeks. We'll see where that goes. It's not the right time. But where was it a good and right time? And the first Christmas story. It's a story filled with interruptions, of seemingly wrong timings. Can you imagine Mary? She's not even married. She can't pass it off as a normal pregnancy. How awkward. And moments before giving birth, she's found on the road going to a census, traveling to Bethlehem, because there's no room for them even at the inn. It's even more awkward. People keep showing up unannounced. Some strange shepherds, some weird foreigners with gifts. She said, what's going on? It's a story filled with interruption. So like Charlie Brown, if you're feeling overwhelmed by all the production and it feels like the wrong time, good news. Christmas belongs to you. Let it interrupt your season. The fourth barrier and the last one is this, wrong connections. Christmas is great if you know all the right people, but I never really know where I'll be spending my time at Christmas, where I'm going to share in that so-called family meal. I'm not even sure if Christmas has room for people like me. And didn't we hear that the first people to hear the good news of Christmas were the least likely in the eyes of the world those who were not powerful or connected, simple shepherds, spending their lives in the field, feeling lost, feeling as if no one knew they're even there. And yet while they sat there thinking through the dead of night, does my life matter? Does God see me? Do people know that I'm suffering? Good news. If Mary and Joseph had had all the right connections, you know they would have made room at the inn. Kick out the valleys. Break out the Egyptian cotton. 1,000-thread camp, breathable. So if you're feeling disconnected, wondering if there's any room for you in the Christmas story, good news. Christmas belongs to you. What's so good about Christmas? What did you think of when I asked that question? The gift is free. The gift is power. The gift is Jesus. And I pray that as we pause this Christmas season, the presence of Christ will remove any barriers you might have towards receiving his peace, this gift for us. That like the shepherds, we would pause and celebrate the good news of Christ. And in our hearts, join with them as they had said, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened in our own life. Let's go and find out what's so good about Christmas. To know his peace, to know his joy, to know the hope we have to celebrate in Jesus.
Thanks for listening to this River Life podcast. Make sure you subscribe to keep up to date with all the latest content. If this podcast has raised any questions for you, contact us via church@riverlifechurch.org.au or through Facebook and Instagram. Thanks for listening.